Welcome back to another episode of If You Can't Handle the Heat, presented by Out of System. We got some hot topics for you to hear today. First topic we're going to be talking about is the joke of the women's ranking system in the National Collegiate League. And Joe here, we're going to kind of go through the grassroots of how we became the volleyball players that we are today, what we see in the younglings, what we do like to see and what we don't like to see. Boys, au revoir, or I don't know how to... Micah, is
au bonjour.
Bonjour.
Yeah, it's nighttime here in France, so that's bonsoir.
Okay, and guten night, Joe, or guten morgen? I don't know how to
guten
say
it. Guten Nacht.
Guten Abend.
Guten Abend.
Servus.
What's that
bonjour.
Mean?
Ça va?
You're just throwing these words at me that I don't understand.
How are you doing?
Okay. Muy bueno. More good, I think I just said. But... like I said, I got a treat for you boys here today. I told you not to look at these rankings. I specifically said do not look at them. Because the other day I was going and I was like, I see some teams playing. Obviously, a lot aren't playing. The Big Ten. Although we're not playing. A lot of the Power Five conferences are not playing. Basically, if you're a Southern state, you're playing, and if you're anywhere above that, you're not playing. And I saw it and I was like, I wonder what the rankings look like. Now, typically they have about. That if you go to the NCAA website, which I just did, you see about like 200 names, right? 1 through like 200 is ranked. This year, it's 1 through 15. 15. Now, there's more teams than that, but they just thought, you know what? It's not even worth looking at. And like I said, I told you guys not to look. I don't want to kind of reveal to you guys what these rankings are, because as soon as I saw them, because I looked them up today and the day before, and I just started laughing out loud. Now, obviously, if you've been paying attention to any volleyball, you can see that Texas is number one with a record of... 6-0, it makes sense, right? Number two, can you guys try and guess number two, you think?
Well, which conferences are going first?
Florida.
Of all?
I know the SEC is going, the ACC is going, and I think the Big 12.
I don't know anything about women's volleyball.
Big 12.
No, listen to this. So we got, I'm just going to give it to you, or Joe.
No. Let us guess. Two teams, and if they're both in the top five, or whoever wins, they're
okay,
in the top five.
Okay.
All right.
I'm going with Nebraska.
They're not even playing, bro.
Okay. Well, just let me know if they are.
They're
not.
The Big Ten.
I don't know what's going on. Florida.
They're in the rankings, but we'll get to that and why it's
because they've had so much training time, they should be better than everyone else. Florida, I don't even think they ever shut down.
Joe.
Florida.
I'm going to say Baylor. Kentucky.
Baylor is number two.
With he record, said half of Baylor before. He was like, but.
Well, then you should have guessed like, it okay, then. That's your fault.
That was a gimme. I was
you
like, I won't take the easy way out
by
here.
Purposely messing up.
I'll try
up.
And use some intellect.
So Baylor's number two with a record of 5-1. I have never seen anyone with a record of 5-1 be top five. Before in my life, so that's kind of a joke. But the biggest
really?
Joke of all, ranking coming in at number three and number four. Number three is Kentucky. Number four is Florida. Do you know? You want to know what the record is?
What?
0-0.
Wait, I'm so confused, Gage. I'm not getting from what this from. I'm not getting what you're getting from this. No, but they have, like, a preseason ranking as well,
no,
right?
No, this is not yet. The preseason because there are teams behind them. Notre Dame is 3-0, and they're number 5. Kentucky and Florida haven't played a game, and they're number 3-4 right now. You have undefeated teams. You have Louisiana, who's 11-0, and they're 15. You have a team in – what is it? Where are they? I think it was –
15-0.
Listen to this.
Okay.
You have a team
that's actually tough, though.
And then Missouri and Texas A&M are 0-0, and they're still moving up. It's insane. I've never seen anything like this.
But you never know, because if they're 0-0, then maybe they could be better than 11-0.
Yeah, Syracuse is 2-4, and they're 14.
So normally,
what? And they're they're 2-4.
They're 2-4,
and they're higher than the 11-0.
11-0 is
Louisiana.
15. Yes. Yes.
Now that's a little
bit. There's 4-0 teams ahead of that team.
So Gage, so normally these rankings, they're done by the AVC. They come to the AVCA, which is the American Volleyball
and
Coaches
it is.
Association.
That's exactly what's going through.
So are only the teams who are actively playing, are those the only coaches voting, or are all coaches from every league
voting
on this?
It only seems that, because I think it's the only ones playing because Texas had 49 votes.
And can you please explain to me how they're doing this NCAA tournament when half
that's
the teams
what I was gonna get to.
Fall?
This is what I'm saying. Okay, let's say so NCAA officially moved their championship to the spring, right?
The women, yeah, for the women.
So what are these teams playing for? They're playing for the Mega Bowl. No one knows. Like
the Mega Bowl,
the Flint, Michigan Mega Bowl. It makes no sense whatsoever. So they're playing for nothing. I don't know.
The tropics.
Are they gonna play? They're gonna play all year round. Is this what's gonna happen? They're gonna have a second season.
You're gonna have to check with your inside sources, Gage, because us being in Europe over here, we're kind of out of the loop on. Usually, I would know that stuff, but I'm not too positive on how they're planning on doing that stuff. You're gonna have to check with your inside sources.
Yeah, man, it's a joke right now. It's all a mess. I just kind of want to share the information. There are teams that are losing, like that were undefeated. They lose, and then they move up a spot. It makes no sense. I don't know what these coaches are voting on. But
maybe they played really well. Cause, all right, I'm just saying, if I were to rank teams, and Syracuse is, say they're 14th right now, but their four losses come to the top four teams. And then their two wins come from, like, really, really legit teams. And I watch those games if I'm a coach. Because I feel like coaches rank the teams differently than, like, analysts would of, like, oh, 11-0. Like, a coach can look at it and be like, that's a good team. I'm going to rank them because I think they're good.
Yeah, but, like, but here's the thing. A lot of these teams, for example, Notre Dame, who's number, six right now, they lose to teams. Last year, they lost to Kennesaw State in four. And
not
to Kennesaw. They lost to Wright State. Yeah, but I'm saying they returned the same players. I look at the rosters.
Yeah, but
unless
they're
getting insanely better.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah, who knows?
Unless you could also
be
like,
if you want to check out these rankings, just go on NCAA volleyball. I mean, NCAA rankings. I mean, they're right there. Just look them up and just kind of see. I mean, hopefully they'll update soon and change some of these people that are 0-0 in the top 15 here. But Joe, let's get to the juicy juice of this segment here. Let's get to the grassroots of our volleyball stories.
Correct. This is going to be the way I imagine it's going to be four different segments in the next four episodes that target kind of where. So I want to tie everything from the beginning stages of our career to where we are now, and really we're going to get into the grassroots of things and move onward from there, because we've kind of jumped around in different parts over the past couple episodes. I really wanted to give, because we get so many questions on personal stuff about advice from us to certain athletes, coaches, and all over. And so I wanted to kind of hit a bunch of different things in the next four episodes and give people really clear picture of where we come from, why we are, or why we believe in certain things, and I think we have some really cool stories. And I think today's more focused towards helping out parents, coaches, and then also the young athletes in seeing what is important from a young age to ensure the most opportunities for your kids. Because I think at the end of the day, I think all of us can attest that the opportunities that we had from a young age and the experiences we had were the most important things for our improvement on and off the volleyball court. And the first thing that jumped out to me, or it always jumps out to me, is I always tell parents this when they come and speak to me. I firmly believe this from our young childhood. You know, we had two parents, my brother and I, we had two parents who have always worked in athletics as coaches, and our mom on the athletic training side, and now as an athletic director at a college. And Micah is two professional athletes, his parents, coaches, they're all, I mean, very big names in the volleyball world. And so for me, I think the culture in which you are raised in and the household that you're raised in is the most instrumental part in developing athletes with, like, the right mindset, living, like, a healthy lifestyle, living the correct style, and just growing up to be good people in general. I think that when you're involved in team sports, being like a good person and understanding basic manners and basic ways to deal with people is so important. And the way that you're raised by your parents and the guardians and the people who influence you the most is the most important thing. Because there's something I remember my mom, she always talks about this from the dinner time conversations that happen between parents and kids are the most instrumental part about the development for a kid. So if a kid's going home and they're at practice and they are constantly being told that they need to get better at this, so they need to work on this, and they're going home and their parents are always babying them and giving them only feedback that they want to hear, it really limits the growth and the ability for the kid to develop, I think, in the long run. And I think Gage, I want to hear how you attest to this. Like, from us, I think our parents are even harder on us just from, like, an experience point, because our parents knew that we were always competitive with each other, and they wanted to make sure that we always maintained, like, a level head, but also that we stayed motivated. I think they did a really good job about this. I think this is super important for parents to understand that they're not just giving the kids what they want to hear, especially in tough situations. Like, you have to allow the kid to be able to learn from those instances and have to be able to work with people with authority, your coaches or your teachers or however, and not just giving them an excuse or whatever.
Right. So are you asking me to kind of attest to that? I mean, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I want to hear you, like, from a culture standpoint and from, like, how you're raised, how much did that impact your career, and especially, and tie it to where you are today and how it's helped you in your career?
Well, if anyone who knows our coach / dad, Roger Worsley, aka, as we call him, Lord Royer, I'll kind of share one story here. I remember, so there was a year when we moved from New York into California, and a year there, right before Pacific Rim was made, we played for a Diablo Valley volleyball club. And so we show up, and my dad, and he was coaching at RIT, a big D3 school in New York, and so he had to show up a little later. So about halfway through the season, or maybe I would say a three quarters into the way of our club season, his season wraps up, he comes all the way over, and he comes to watch us for the first time, finally moves to California with us. So we get to California, and I remember he watched our first club tournament, and he didn't say anything to us. Didn't say a single word. We lose. We end up getting third in the tournament, which is unacceptable in the Worsley household, as everyone knows. And so we go, and I remember he didn't say anything after, so I thought everything was okay. On the drive home, everything's okay. So for those who don't know, we have every volleyball game recorded. This is for anyone who's ever had this. Record, Mike, I don't know if you've ever had this before, but we've recorded every single volleyball game since we were pretty much 7 or 8 years old until, and then now we have it on YouTube. But, like, every club game, we have it in a huge database. Do you have anything like that, Micah?
No, not at all. I have nothing.
So it's super fun because we can go at home and check it out. But back to the story here. So I remember we're on the way home. Nothing seems wrong. My dad's super quiet, so that's kind of like, I don't know about that. That's kind of suspicious, but I'm about like 11. Joe's like 13 at the age. We're playing 14s. So we sit down, and my dad brings out the video cassette, and then whatever they had back in the day, puts it on the TV, and he says, come here. And he begins, after a two-day long tournament where we get third, which again is unacceptable, he takes it and he puts on the game of the last game that we just recorded. And for over an hour, just absolutely goes into us and points out, like, yeah, that was a not because we got third, just how we played. And I didn't think we played that bad, like, but apparently he just went into us, and he laid into us. Oh my gosh. And I was like, oh my, like, and that was like the first time my dad saw us play in California. And then we kind of turned around from there, created a pack rim, created a monster. And the rest is history. But like Joe said, it's like not about hearing, like, definitely not about hearing. And my mom's the same way. Like, she'll be at tournaments and she'll be like, you're playing absolutely horrible. Or like when I train, I can just see her just like give me the glaring at me. Like, everyone sees her as sweet. And she is a sweet, definitely out of the two. She's a more sweeter one. But she can definitely like, and then after the game, she'll tear you a new one and just like let you know. So my mom is sweet, but don't worry. She still has that killer instinct that we kind of get from both our families. I don't know, Mike.
and Micah, the thing I wanted to get from you is Gage alluded to this a little bit. Gage and I, we've been involved in team sports. Like from a young age, we played every single team sport. We were always involved in team sports. And for me, I know personally, I could not stand doing any individual sports, whether it's swimming, tennis, or anything. I think those, to be honest, now that I've gotten older, those athletes, they're just like weird people in general. Having to like be by themselves all the time. And it's for several different reasons. But Mike, for you in your career, what do you think? Because I mean, you were a three sport athlete. You won state. How many state championships did you win in high school total?
Six.
Six total, in football, basketball, and volleyball.
Yeah,
correct.
One
you won one
football,
each.
One in basketball, and then four
what,
in volleyball.
So what was it from you at a young age? I think soccer for my brother and I tell this to every parent. I think every kid should play soccer. For you, I want to hear how you felt that. I mean, did you play every sport growing up?
Yeah, I played a lot. I played the main ones when I was really young: baseball, soccer,
cricket,
basketball, volleyball. I think that might be it when I was young. Flag football. Yeah, I think it's something that you find in volleyball because it's not necessarily the first sport people find. Like, for basketball, you probably wouldn't find it as much. People kind of find basketball and then are kind of forced to specialize nowadays just because of how intense the recruitment process is and how hard people are training. In volleyball, it kind of starts off as kind of basketball players or other kinds of people that end up finding the sport through some weird way. And because of that, they kind of went through the whole list of sports and kind of trying to find what's right for them. Unless you were born into a volleyball family, like kind of we were. So, and then it kind of becomes more of a primary sport. But even then, volleyball families never take it as seriously as like a basketball or, I don't know. These sports nowadays are getting so intense. It's like for children at like 8 years old having like private lessons and, I don't know. It's different nowadays.
More focused.
Yeah, I think people are more focused. They're kind of forced to be because just the level has gone up so much, that they don't really have. They feel a pressure, and maybe that's just the way that life's going. Is specialization with how good and how many people there are. It's like something you're gonna have to might.
Also comes with entitlement, though.
Have to start doing.
People are more entitled now, especially with their kids.
How so?
Well, I'm just saying a lot of time, like they invest a lot in their kids also, but I feel like now a lot of time, because I deal with a lot of younger athletes and they're just more entitled and like, oh, my kid should be playing this. And there's always been parents like that, but like,
this.
Because they have invested a lot of time and money into them, but at the same time, like that doesn't mean that they're going to be like all that, you know what I'm saying? Like,
no, for sure. No, I don't think that's necessarily they definitely are probably going to be more demanding on coaches. Like, hey, like our kids should be playing. We take private lessons from you, all this kind of stuff. So that's actually a good point.
Politics.
Yeah.
Whatnot.
Politics.
I know we lost you for a little bit, but basically what I said was that just with volleyball, it's just a little bit less specialized because it's normally people come from basketball or come from other sports and kind of find it. And then later on, like, start to specialize later than other sports.
No.
Unless 100%. You're born into a volleyball family.
Yeah, for sure. No, 100%, I think.
But I think it does provide, you know, what's interesting is that this is such a common question. Like, the few times I've talked to, like, club teams, it's every single talk, somebody's asked, like, would you specialize or would you rather have your kid, like, play a lot of stuff? And the answer for me is just what makes you happy, I guess, too. It's like,
for sure.
Don't just go play a bunch of other sports just because somebody told you to go to go play a bunch of sports. Like, if you love like water polo and you know that's what you want to do, then yeah, dude, train, practice all day, try and be the best at it. But also, if you're a kid and you just like to play sports and be with friends and like enjoy your time together and compete, then dude, pick up whatever you want. Pick up what your friends are playing and try it out and have a lot of fun. Because, dude, you're a kid, man. You don't get that time back.
Absolutely. I to be honest, that's something I always regretted, was stopping soccer so early. I loved soccer.
And you and soccer, man.
I know. That's something for me that was I still like I love watching soccer. Anybody that knows me knows that I love just playing soccer. Even at Hawaii when we would play soccer a little bit with some of the Europeans, but I always just loved the game of soccer. And I stopped at a young age. I kind of really started going full into volleyball from a younger age. I mean, not super young, right before I got into high school. No, middle of middle school is when I stopped playing soccer. I wish I had played a little bit even in high school, actually. I think I would have enjoyed that, and I would have... I always felt it helped my volleyball game and even the mental part of the setting game and kind of like the vision in that part of it. I don't know how truthful that is, but that's what I felt. But the other thing, you know, for me, recognizing, Mikey, you just got into this a little bit, recognizing the passion of like what you're really interested in. I think kids need to be able to recognize that themselves, and parents too often try to funnel that into certain sports because there's more money down the road, there's more scholarship opportunity, whatever it is. And I think, I mean, it's hard to say that for volleyball players because there's not any money in this sport and it's very limited scholarship opportunity. So the kids who do play volleyball, I think the parents are understanding that this is like something the kid has a passion for, and allowing them to go play volleyball is tough. I see this with football and basketball players. You know, I played with a couple on my throughout my junior club career where I had like football and basketball players, and their parents are pushing them to go play football or basketball because there's way more money, way more opportunity over there. But I think parents and both kids need to see, like, if they have a passion for the sport, you just need to allow the kid to go play that sport. I think you got into that a little bit. Gage, I don't know, when did you realize like you had a really big passion, like more so than any other sport or any other activity for volleyball?
I mean, hell, we quit soccer at like 8, 9 years old. I always knew I liked volleyball because my dad, fun fact, our dad didn't let us play volleyball because he wanted us to go into football and whatnot, because we enjoyed football and soccer and others, among other sports, but he was like, because he didn't want to feel like he was pressuring us into it. So like 8, 9, I mean, I remember 8 and 9, I was like, you know what, let's do this, because we were kind of balancing all those sports and volleyball. This is going into our third year. And we knew we loved it. We were surrounded by it, and we didn't get burnt out. So I think, I mean, when we ended it, and I didn't really miss it. It seems like you really miss it. Jeez. but I don't know. I mean, Micah, do you ever miss any other sports that you did when you were younger?
Oh yeah, I miss them all. I miss basketball the most. I play pickup as much as I can.
Yeah, same. I do love basketball.
I played pickup probably at UCLA, probably like 3 times a week for most of the year. And then football, I just miss game days. And I miss the camaraderie of football. It's just a different camaraderie. So many guys, and like camp where you just sleep in at the gym for a little bit and like doing stupid stuff all day long. You miss practice a little bit, just the grind of it. But man, practice sucks. You literally the whole day are looking like, what is the dang word I'm looking for? The whole day you're like
dreading
going to practice. Yeah, dreading is the word. Yeah.
And I kind of want to say something really quick here, Joe. I want to make a connection between playing other sports with your volleyball friends or just with your main friends and how that carries on. You know what I'm saying? That's why, like, with soccer, especially at a young age, if you're playing a sport with your teammate and another thing, it's different because you form this different type of connection. So we do at Hawaii, we go and play. We go to the rec. I know, Micah, you did the same thing at UCLA. We go to the rec. We grab 5 guys. You go to the rec center, the university rec center. You go and play sports with them. You go and play basketball. And you form this kind of different kind of camaraderie. So I feel like that's super important. So, like, I always ask, like, teams, like, you guys go to the rec and you guys play sports. And if they don't, I'm not going to say they're not as tight or anything like that, but I feel like there's a new level there that they haven't explored. And just so much more fun when you go with those guys. So playing other sports, definitely, one, it helps with different, like if you play often enough, it's gonna translate onto the court. And two, you're also kind of forming with your teammates. So I think that's super important in what you were kind of talking about, Joe.
No, I 100%. The teams, just that, everything about playing a team sport is what I love. My mom a couple times said to me, like, oh, I wish you'd try tennis or something like that. And the more I think about it, I don't know how I would do just every day. It's me and a coach.
Joey, you're not good on your own, though. You're not good on your own.
Exactly.
Though.
So me, I like if I imagine me and it just and I had a coach like my dad when I, just my entire my for like 8 or 9 years, just me and my imagine if I had a coach like my dad, I would go nuts. If it was just me, because at least with the team, you know, like we get into it. But at least he has other people to go yell at sometimes. If it was just me and him, like I don't know how I could.
Joe, that
I would not have been able to do it.
That's how my life was all the time. What are you talking about? Welcome to my world, buddy. You didn't get it.
No,
I got one on one. When you left, especially, oh, it was one on one. And then also, like especially last year, Milan was on me last year, on me.
So that's
like, it was like
this
every
is,
single.
This thing. Is, all right. This is getting into the last point. To finish this segment and the first part of this kind of four-part series. The biggest thing, okay, we've talked about everything that we felt that is important for young kids to understand from when they're first getting into sports and team sports and how it's tied into our careers. The biggest thing, though, that separates like guys at like the high, like Division I athletes, professional athletes, why they got to a certain level. This is taught, and it goes back to my first point about the culture and the what goes on at their house and how they're raised. The commitment, sacrifice, and discipline in their entire life and how their life is structured is the most important thing. And for us, I think that was hammered into us from a young age, the discipline part and the commitment, not just on the court, but also to your family, to people like... understanding that like your word is your word. And I think Micah, I feel like from the stories that I've heard from you about your upbringing, it's really similar. And for us, it's the sacrifice and the discipline part is like the core into how we were raised, my brother and I. And so
yeah, your guys' upbringing was, I mean, I got a small taste of it.
I don't know,
yours was way more intense. way more intense.
And I think part I do you think part of it, Michael, was that you had sisters that you're like your dad at times?
Yeah, that's like, very true. Yeah,
like if we
100%
if we had a sister first, my brother and
yeah,
I
that would change that whole house
for sure. My brother and I would have been probably, I don't know if we would have been an asshole to her, but I always felt like we would have been pretty mean if we had a sister. But from a for our parents, I think how they raised the family and how the family is run would have been totally changed. And depending on the age of the sister, she probably would have like ran the family. That's usually how it works. I always see if there's like one sister in the house, she's always kind of the one that runs the family and gets everything. And I don't know how that would have worked if we had a sister in the house. But I know for us, like the discipline part, like growing up, we were always working on the weekends. We were always doing chores. Like there was we weren't going out and hanging out with people a lot just because it was either we were training or we're at home doing work. And that's how we were raised. And that's why, like when Gage and I, we go places, whether it's at like the University of Hawaii, whatever, like I feel like we're pretty trustworthy. Like if teammates or like coaches or people need our help and stuff, like we don't mind going and doing work. And like on the weekends at Hawaii, if stuff needed to be cleaned up or our coaches needed help or somebody needed help with some sort of like manual labor, like we were always the first ones to call, and people always could count on us to do that type of stuff because that's just how we were raised. And you see kids complain about having to do like the smallest things, but for us, like when we eventually got to college and we were kind of, I guess, free in a sense.
Dude,
unreal. It was a complete change from the past 18 years in our lives, and we were like, everything was really structured for us, and it was very demanding. And there's like we were always put in pressure situations, whether specifically on the volleyball court. The way our dad trained us is that he was gonna put so much way more pressure on us in practice than in the game, so that when we stepped into a match, like it was really easy. And I felt like that training style really benefited my brother and I, especially now at this point in our career. I don't know, Gage, if you had something else to add there.
Yeah, man, it's just Micah. I think also the culture's different for you. Like I said, you were pretty free most of the time. Like, let's say the bell rang, school's over, you're free, yeah, free to do whatever you want. Outside of sports and practice, yeah.
Yeah, I think no, you guys' stuff was way more intense. The only thing was after school, I didn't get home until like not my dad would pick me up at like 8:30 or 9.
Right.
Yeah, so for us, and like sometimes really, really, really late. So I would just wait around.
And your weekends are free too, yeah. Outside of sports.
Yeah, my dad, we didn't have chores. It was chores meant just when he needed something done, you do it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There wasn't like, it wasn't structured. It was just like, hey, do this. And when he says do it, you do it.
And I feel like that's the culture of like kind of Hawaii versus, I don't know, California, but it's us, for example. And for Kailua Koa, you guys practice, how often did you guys practice before you guys went to tournaments?
Dude, yeah, we'd practice. Well, we wouldn't practice in the fall really because we only had 7 or 8 guys, max 9. And then Tui was the starting quarterback and I played football. And then Evan was on a different island. And so at that point, you're down to about 5 or 4. So they would practice like a couple times a week sometimes and just do like passing and that's about it. We really started up maybe like we'd train before January because we had that tournament. So we do, but most we'd ever practice is 3 times a week, an hour and a half.
Jeez.
That's the most. Like, we never go before that. Dude, we never go more than that.
That's the thing about Hawaiians. You guys, I'll wrap this up after, but thinking about Hawaiians, you guys, for some reason, you guys are like the biggest culture who could not touch a volleyball and all of a sudden touch a volleyball and you'll be completely fine. I cannot do that. I can't go from 0 to 100.
No, I also can't.
Dude, what do you mean? You won like 7 national championships doing that.
No. We'd practice before the trip, like, but yeah, never but, more than,
like
not,
when I went,
but not that often.
Yeah, for example, when I went to the grass tournament AVP, I touched the ball for a week and I was ass. Right?
No, that's how I kind of am now. Especially my setting. My setting is definitely like that more now. You know who's not like that is Josh.
Tuiniga.
Josh, yeah, he could literally sit for a year, come out, and just his hands still look exactly the same.
Some people are just gifted like that. But yeah. To wrap it up really quick, so this is our schedule. For Joe and I's schedule, we would end class at 2:30, go straight to my dad's packroom facility, clean all night, or clean for about an hour and a half, 2 hours. Then I'd be coaching the girls that I just cleaned after. And then I got to stay there till like 6 or 7 every night. And then on the weekends, I'd have to wake up at 4:30, 5 a.m. every day to go help my dad with practice, go to the tournaments, make sure everything's good. I never had like a social life at all. Very, very rarely did I ever see my friends from school outside of school. Extremely rare occasions. I was like living 2 lives. Like
yeah,
my
main life was like when I was there. When I was there, you guys literally, I was absolutely shocked. I was like, is people train like this in high school? We practiced 2 times a day, and then on the weekends we'd wake up early and coach beach volleyball at like I don't know what hour, but not any time that I've ever been up at before in my life. And I was like, these guys are absolutely insane. Absolutely insane.
Yeah, but
I'd never done a double day in volleyball before in my life before I came to you guys. And you guys did it for 2 months straight every day.
Gage, the one thing I wanted to point this out about with all this, how easy was it for though when you go to college and Charlie says, all right, we have 6 a.m. practice like 2 or 3 times a week. Like, The schedule for like our transition into college was so easy from a training standpoint. Like there's some guys who were like could not do it, but even Micah, you experienced it with us for your last year for about a month, and when you go to like when we went to college, everything was so much easier, and you know I mean we can thank our dad for that. You know, there's, like we said, I talked about the sacrifice. There's positives and negatives to kind of how we were raised and how we were coached our whole life. And that's just like, people think like, oh, that's just like their training style. But for us at home, if we didn't have practice, we were getting up super early to go do sometimes like literally from early in the morning till sundown of some sort of like housework or yard work. And my dad My parents literally, they seem to find something to do every single day. That's how we were raised. If we were sitting, Gage and I, we would always be like, okay, we can't just sit still. We always have to act like we're doing something. Like, always. We always, even if our,
just
like,
always be walking somewhere
no,
in the house.
I swear to God. There's sometimes like,
Gage, crazy sense of urgency. Like, oh, no, no, there, no, no.
I swear to God.
Just keep walking back and forth.
Even to this day, when I go home, there's days I'm like, Gage, do not just be sitting down when my dad walks by or my mom. Don't be laying down when our parents walk by when we're home, because they'll, all right, well, what the hell are you doing? Why are my pillows not fluffed? Dude, why are my blanket? Dude. Why is the blanket in my bedroom? Or like you can't be like looking like you're just like doing nothing ever, because then your ass is put straight to work all the time. And that's just how we were like.
Bro.
So it's not just like,
yeah, your guys' house is crazy.
My dad. So I had to wait. So I couldn't work out in the afternoon because I was working all afternoon. Right, and that was like, I had no social life, so I had to wake up at 6 a.m. every day to go work out, lift, and then go to school, high school. And then when I got to Hawaii, they were just like, oh yeah, this and this. And some people, like, I had like D1 athletes, like, oh, I can't have my social, like, I'll come home still in the summer and it will be way busier than my life than my life at Hawaii. Like, they'd be like, oh, I have no social. I'm like, what do you mean? You have all this time. What do you mean? I have so much time on my hands. I have an hour a day. What do you mean? Shit.
I don't know what to do with myself.
My dad will literally, like Joe said, he'll like find stuff for us to do. Like, he'll be like,
he'll create stuff.
If he sees us like sitting. Exactly. He'll just create stuff. Like Joe says, if you have fun yesterday, you can't have fun today. You can't do anything fun today. Like, there's always something for us to do.
No, my dad was so cool about that. He didn't ever make anything for us to do. Like, he's cool. He's super chill, man.
Yeah.
It's just you don't cross him ever, you know?
100%.
It's just like, if it's ever anything that needs to be done, and I have so much respect for him. We all had so much respect for him that, like, if he ever looked like he needed any sort of help, like, we'd try and be there for him or do anything like that, but. No, he just kind of went to work by himself.
100%.
Also, what I was going to say is about that, like, the transition to college, also, it's important because, Joe, you're talking about this, but, like, just not even, you don't even need to come from where you guys come from. Like, for me, I didn't have that ever, but the transition work-wise was so easy because just the way I was raised, like you said, the culture, it's like, you're not going to complain about what time, like, you just don't complain.
Yeah.
Like, what are you going to, like, whine and complain about? You're lifting too much, or like that it's too early, or anything like that. Like, you just go and you just do it, and then you just live with it.
100%. I mean, that's the bottom line. Is like, you gotta be willing to do whatever is asked of you, and
yeah. And when you complain, your life is so much worse, dude. Yeah. Your life is so much worse. These people are unhappy like every morning, and I'm just in there like, all right, have a good time.
Whenever you make yourself the victim. You're just
Your life,
the whole mental health
thing,
I think,
sucks.
I think, like, the mental health thing is such a big topic in the U.S. right now, especially, I mean, there's been a lot of stuff going on in the news lately where you've seen, it's like, really sad stories. And I think the bottom line is that people, they just get so overwhelmed, they get so caught up with stuff, like, that there's just, like, an overload, like, overload of stuff like on their plate, and they just like can't handle it. I think the bottom line is, like, I mean, you made a post about a week ago, Mike, about being present, being in the moment. That's the most, especially like in today's time with the whole COVID thing, that's the most important thing that I think people need to understand, is just be in the moment. Like, not being a victim of the circumstances and stuff, and just like being in the moment and living and appreciating like what you have. And, you know, for us, like, Gage and I were talking about our parents and how tough they were on us and some, like, our daily life. But there's also so many different things that they gave us, so many different opportunities and so many different experiences, both on the court and then off the court, whether it's like cross country road trips. There's so many cool things that we did growing up that many kids never get to do. And so, like, our lives are so unique for many different reasons, I think. But the what you're talking about, being present and just like appreciating what you have, and that's like so important, especially in today's world. I think kids and people lose track of that, and they get too caught up in whether it's like making themselves the victim in too many situations, or they're too worried about what other people said, or too worried about things outside of their control. And that's like the worst thing that you can do. My mom said that to me a couple times, because throughout my career, like, there's times where I just get frustrated with stuff that I can't really control, and she's like the first one to tell me that. I think that was so important from a young age, like, just control what you can control. Yeah.
My dad's really good at that. That's the thing, when your dad's your coach, like you guys, it's like you do not have an off switch. Like, I feel like every moment, every waking moment, he's teaching me something. Yeah. He's like explaining to me something about, and man, I'm so grateful for him. He's taught me so much, and his dad never spoke to him, so he made it a point to always be like talking to me and talking to his other kids, and always like explaining and trying to teach lessons and stuff. And he does not let anybody play the victim card or complain. And like, it's like I said in the post, it's been taken to extreme measures where like really bad situations, and he's like, nope, like you can't. But at the end of the day, it helps you a lot more than it hurts you. Like you said, it's a big problem nowadays. I think it definitely relates to a lot of our mental health issues right now. And that's why, I don't know, I think the way that our politics is going, I think it can be dangerous as well, because we kind of are starting to put that forward, like that victim mentality forward. And it gets really dangerous, because that's what you're teaching kids. And that kind of stuff is really serious. It can change your life. And I think we should be teaching them not to be the victim, and that control what you can control, and that really bad things will happen to you, because, man, there's people out there with such bad situations, and just, like, so many bad things are happening. But the only thing you can tell them is that if you look at that and you feel sorry for yourself, then you're only going to compound all that stuff.
For sure.
And so it's never a bad idea to, like, just control what you can control, be grateful, and not allow yourself to play the victim, because it's really, really dangerous when you do.
Absolutely. You know, I really like, I think that's a good point to kind of end this segment on for this week, and the grassroots kind of art of how our career started, and what our upbringing off the court. I think a lot of our focus today was more stuff off the court and our relationship with our families and our parents, and how that really tied into kind of this beginning of our careers, and how that's affected us to even today. Like, 12 for me, this is my, since I've been 7 years old, how long is that, through like 16th year playing volleyball, and the stuff from like the first day I've been playing, and from like when I was 6 years old at home, like that stuff stays with me for a while. I think that stays with everybody, and that's what is the most, like, for, like I was saying at the beginning, I think for parents, coaches, and then young athletes, today's talk can influence the most, and they can pick up the most from that. They need to like, what happens at home and the culture from a young age is the most important thing. And I think, Micah, the stuff that you just ended on there, I think that's exactly what people need to understand. So we're gonna end that. Next week is, we're getting into the middle part of our career, and kind of what jump started our kind of next step into the college game. And so, but before we sign off here, I have the pick'em matches. I only have two matches for this week. Last week,
who's winning so far? Who's winning?
It's, you're still in the lead by 1 point, Gage. Everybody picked up two points last week. So we have,
gosh, I need to freaking,
so everybody's still right, like, in the race. So it's like 1 point separation between everybody. From, I always try to make an emphasis to make sure we have American players on the matches we pick. This week we only have two matches. We're going to lead off with Gage. You have the first pick from the first match between Zaxa and Suvalki. Of course, both teams having an American with David Smith at Zaxa, the middle block, the American middle blocker, and Josh Tuoniga with Suvalki. Gage, what is your pick for this match?
I'm going Suvalki. Slovakia. Suvalki.
In set count?
3-1. Actually, scratch that from the record. 3-0. All
right. I'm going Zaxa. I'm going Zaxa 3-0.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm going to second that.
You guys big are idiots. Love, you guys are such
big
idiots.
Big love to Big Josh.
And then big love.
Zoxa's undefeated right now, and they're for the people that don't maybe know.
Is Zoxa the Josh's
number one
team?
In the league. No. Zoxa is David Smith's team, and they're number one in the
Zoxa's
league. Zoxa's
one of the...
They're really, really, really good.
If anybody's looking for, like, very well played, like system volleyball, very disciplined team. That is Zox is the team you're gonna want to go watch. Like they're so well
for
coached.
For sure. Anyone undersized, actually even big guys, you can learn a lot. And man, if you're a big guy and you can do what they do,
or Slovakia because they're gonna sweep them.
Podium.
Super too bad they're gonna get swept.
Swept.
Whatever,
sweep.
Bro.
And then the last match from this week, we got Trentino Lube matching up in the Italian league. Michael, we'll start with you for this last one here.
Dang.
Easy.
I'm going Trentino 3-1.
I'm gonna take Lube 3-2.
I'm going to second Joe on this one.
Gage, who plays for Lube?
The Cubans.
Nice.
That's closer right. than I thought. I know all about. What are we going to do? Joe, what are we going to do collegiate volleyball?
We'll get into collegiate volleyball once I see a match that's worth picking.
No. Okay, let me try and name Lube starters.
Okay.
You got the big Cuban middle. What's his name? We all on the outside.
Yeah.
Okay. You got the Belgian right side. You got one of the Italian liberos. I can't remember if it's first or second libero. You got the Argentinian Belgian setter, right DiCecco. Side. Yeah. Is the long hair?
No.
The ponytail?
I thought
he's Belgian. Where's he from?
He's from like Luxembourg or something. It's a tough one. He's not from.
Same thing. Place. Whatever, bro.
not to say it's not a normal place, but it's not a really popular place.
Wait, is DiCecco.
Yeah, he's the setter.
Right?
Good.
And then you have one of the Italian liberos, like I said. I don't remember.
Oh, that's well done.
And then you got Simone. Is it Simone in the middle?
Yep.
Woo-hoo-hoo! That's right. Hey, what are we going to do with collegiate, Joe? You said we're going to do collegiate.
I said,
are unreal.
Once I see a match that's worth picking, then I'll put it in there.
Bro, they got like Kentucky versus. You haven't even paid attention. They have the 0-0 Kentucky number
right,
three
Gage,
in the nation.
Gage, you come Notre next Dame. Week. Gage, you come next week with our first college game. You find the first college game, we'll pick it.
I'll find all the games.
All right.
Sounds good. All right. Well, we've obviously had a good time here. Check in next week for when we talk about our
Mike
midlife
is seven or, national championships.
I guess so. Seven national championships, six state titles. Small
zero
kind of flex.
That actually matter.
Yeah, I'm right there.
Zero
we're right there with
college.
You. Right there with you, Micah.
We'll get into that in a couple episodes.
Yes, I'll bless up. We've had a good time on the show. Micah, Mahalos, Joe, Afita Zane. This has been another episode, If You Can't Handle the Heat, presented by Addisystem.